Issues, etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.
This clinical trial is a very historic moment in that it reflects a change in spinal cord injury research as we move from the bench to the bedside. I think they're going to get better, and I'm just dying to find out if I'm right.
That's Dr. Hans Kierstead of the Sue and Bill Gross Stem Cell Research Center. He's very hopeful about the use of embryonic stem cell research and embryonic stem cells to regrow certain part of the spinal cord and hopefully restore to people, at least in the short term, those who recently suffered spinal cord injuries within 2 or 3 weeks, a month at the outset, movement. Now, they've tried this in lab animals, and at least the story I heard on the news today says that rats with spinal cord injuries treated this way with embryonic stem cell and the research thereof stand up and walk. That's what they say. Seems hopeful. Does it change the ethical landscape of embryonic stem cell research? We'll be talking about that here in the first few minutes. Dr. David Prentice will join us live this Tuesday afternoon, October the 12th, here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us as well for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE. That's our in-studio phone line. 1-877-623-6943. You can email us as well, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. A little bit later, Brad Greenberg of GetReligion.org will join us. We'll talk about media coverage of 2 stories, anti-Semitic remarks in the press, and then also an alleged sex scandal down at Atlanta involving a megachurch pastor. We'll round off this hour of Issues, Etc., talking about the mass wedding ceremony presided over by none other than the Reverend Sam Young Moon, founder of the Unification Church, this weekend. Dr. David Prentice is Senior Fellow for the Center for Human Life and Bioethics for the Family Research Council, based in Washington, spent 20 years as a professor of life sciences at Indiana State University. Dr. Prentice, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be back.
The promises are big, to say the least, and the hopes of the researchers are high. Does success in treating spinal cord injury with embryonic stem cells, does it change the ethical landscape for that controversial kind of research and treatment?
Not at all, Todd. Let's remind the listeners that embryonic stem cell research, getting embryonic stem cells, relies on the destruction of young human beings, these little young embryos, which are human life at its earliest stage. We were all there. It doesn't change the ethical landscape at all because you cannot sacrifice some members of the human race for the possible benefit. And that's all it is at this point with embryonic. But even if it were an actuality, even if they could treat hundreds of diseases, it wouldn't make it right. The other problem we need to look at here is, you know, the media have gushed all over this story. This is a press release indicating they have just now injected this first patient. And frankly, our concern is for the health of that patient. Hans Kierstead may be dying to find out what happens, but the patient may be dying as a result because embryonic stem cells tend to form tumors. They form them over and over again in the lab animals. This report you mentioned where these rats or mice stood up and walked, well, they kind of wobbled up a little. They didn't improve greatly. And there's still a worry about causing the patient's condition to worsen, even potentially risking their life from the tumors that are formed. So there are really 2 big ethical checks against embryonic stem cells.
So it is the source of the stem cells themselves requiring the destruction of human embryos and the fact that the treatments so far have proven to be as dangerous as the conditions they are intended to treat.
Or worse. I mean, think about with spinal cord injury, you can continue to live with that injury, and many people have for years and years and years, but now you're actually risking the patient's life with these embryonic stem cells. And let's point out the converse here, adult stem cells, which don't tend to make the media very, very much at all, but adult stem cells have already helped spinal cord injury patients. Now, adult stem cells you can take from your own body. You can take from umbilical cord blood. There are two published scientific papers. So this is already, the results are already in at this point. Patients who had, in some cases, complete quadriplegia from their spinal cord injury, treated with their own adult stem cells, who can stand and walk with the aid of braces or a walker, quadriplegics who can now wave their arms. And this is, you know, real success, and it's ethical success. But we're not hearing about that.
What I also am concerned about and what we don't hear is the follow-through on a story like this. We'll hear the promise. We'll hear the hope in the researchers' voices, and we'll hear the great hope that they're holding out for embryonic stem cells and the treatments derived from them. But when they do fail, we don't hear that, does not make the headlines.
No, it doesn't, Todd. And I'm wondering whether we will hear at all in the media, or whether we will have to dig at the FDA for they're called adverse events reports, where patients who were in a clinical trial like this one had some problem, whether it's tumors, whether it's some kind of inflammation, anything that goes wrong with this, they have to report that to the FDA, but it's not going to make the media. We may have to dig this out, and we may get press releases for the next patient that's injected, but it will be, frankly, years before we know the final results. In point of fact, Geron has committed to monitor these patients for 15 years after injection. Now, that's simply because there is a certain danger from the tumors that may be caused by embryonic stem cells. It's enough of a concern that even proponents of embryonic stem cell research, who aren't concerned at all about the first ethical question of destroying some human beings for this research, they're concerned about the adverse events that may come from this, and they're kind of on pins and needles, hoping that nothing does go wrong.
Dr. Prentice, what is going on at the FDA that, I mean, we would hope that a government regulatory agency, such as they are, would exercise extreme caution when it came to new treatments, especially treatments that are as new and as unproven as something like this. What's going on there that they seem to be saying green lights, and perhaps quickly with the green lights, for embryonic stem cell and the treatments and the research?
Well, it is of concern, because it's almost as if this has been pushing almost a political ideology, certainly a culture of death ideology. Geron got their first approval days after President Obama was inaugurated. Now, the FDA did kind of take a look at that evidence that Geron submitted, and in the summer of 2009 put them on a hold, a safety hold, because they weren't convinced at that point, months after the fact, that there was a real edge on terms of safety, that Geron had considered this. There were problems with the rats. They did keep them on hold for almost a year, but then apparently they were convinced to let them go ahead and try this dangerous experiment. And it is dangerous, and it relies again on unethical techniques.
Finally then, Dr. Prentice, when our listeners read the headlines or see the story on television, hear about it on the radio, that says embryonic stem cells are being used to treat spinal cord injuries, and that everybody's hopeful about it, what bottom line, do they need to know first and foremost about these stories that may not be reported there? About a minute for your response.
Yeah, well, that phrase that they're being used, well, the patient's been injected, but the results are far from in terms of that. So definitely not just a grain of salt, but a salt block when people talk about the effusive properties of embryonic stem cells. And they ought to ask the media outlet that they hear this from, well, have you investigated adult stem cells, and what are the results with those? Because, again, embryonic stem cells relies on unethical destruction of young human lives. You're risking the patient with the danger of tumors, while adult stem cells already have proven success. So why aren't we thinking about the patients first?
Real quickly, someone says, how could it be unethical to try and help people walk again? Without 30 seconds for your response.
Well, you know, Geron didn't test this in large animals. They've only got two published rat studies where actually there wasn't a great increase. And you just compare the differences with adult stem cells where you don't harm the donor, and the patients are seeing great success, not rats, but human patients that are walking and standing and feeling again. We need to think about those patients and real success.
Dr. David Prentice is Senior Fellow for the Center for Human Life and Bioethics for the Family Research Council, based in Washington. He spent almost 20 years as a professor of life sciences at Indiana State University. You'll find a link to the Family Research Council at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Prentice, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we'll spend some time with Brad Greenberg of GetReligion.org talking about two stories, one on anti-Semitism and the other on an alleged sex scandal involving a megachurch pastor in Atlanta. Stay tuned. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have four different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues, Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.